Greetings and welcome on board WDKOK Sunrise. I'm Mark Lawrence. We have in the studio with us today two folks from the Pennsylvania Game Commission. A warden, Dirk Riemensnyder, is back. He's going to be talking a little bit today, but he brought with him one of his good cadets who's learning how the whole trade of being a warden. So first of all, Dirk, thank you so much for coming back. Good to see you.
Always good to see you, Mark.
I really do appreciate it. So thanks for all the information you've brought us over the years. And on to the cadet. She's going to be the focus of our discussion today, as we try to talk about what it's like to become a game warden, why she's interested in that, and also what are some of the things that folks might want to know as we head into some of the hunting seasons. Brooke Hargenrader is here, originally from, that would be what, the, not Perry County, what's Marysville?
Oh, that is Perry County.
Perry County,
got
okay.
It.
So she's from the Perry County area, and she's here to kind of bring us up to date as we head into the hunting season. So thank you for coming in. Let's start out. Why a warden? Explain your background a little bit. Why become a warden for the Game Commission?
Yeah, sure. So I was raised in a family that did a lot of outdoor activities such as hunting, fishing, everything like that. And ever since I was little, I always had an interest in law enforcement. So as soon as I found out about the career, I definitely knew that it was going to be the one.
Yeah, but what was that real attraction? You have a love of the outdoors and law enforcement in the outdoors. There's like a hook to it. I mean, I know a couple wardens. Mm-hmm. It's not just like patrolling a municipality. You guys care deeply about what you see out there, mm-hmm. and infractors bug you, and what is that attraction?
Well, there is a certain passion associated with the job, I would say, for sure. But we talk about at the academy, you know, you walk out into the woods, and it's like the woods truly is your office.
Yeah,
and I remember that line from the academy specifically, and it really stuck with me because, yeah, there's so much truth to it. But absolutely, there's a passion for it.
Yeah, you need. That's a good workplace to go, and I know there's probably someday somewhere you can relax while you're out there and just take a deep breath and enjoy. The rest of the time, you're probably looking for whatever it is you happen to be out there looking for. All right, so you are in the Game Commission's Academy now. Tell us what that entails. What are you studying? How are you studying? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's about an 11-month academy. It's actually the longest law enforcement academy in the whole United States. So we cover a bunch of different topics, such as Game and Wildlife Code. We cover Title 18, Crimes Code, Title 75, Vehicle Code. So we cover everything that, you know, a normal officer, state police would cover, plus Game and Wildlife Code. And on top of that, we do close quarters defense. We do information education training, hunter-trapper education. There's so much that we cover in that span of time. It's crazy. In an 11-month program, you would think, we are busy. It's a lot of time. But
yeah, a lot to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, and I'm just thinking, I never really used to hear about confrontations between game wardens and hunters, but you hear more about that now. Hunters that really push back, or maybe not even hunters, but just whomever you happen to come across.
Mm-hmm.
So they teach you defensive measures, too, so you're ready for that?
Yes, absolutely. Just because of the law enforcement component tied into the job.
Yeah, I mean, imagine, and unfortunately we have heard that of game wardens that really run into trouble out there because of a criminal that the warden happened to encounter. All right, so you are in a phase now where you happen to be working around with the Union County Game Warden, Dirk Riemensnyder. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's been great so far. I think field training combined is just a great time to actually put into work everything we've been putting into the academy this far. You know, we get out into the field and it's just everything we've learned, we're actually implementing it, which is great. And it's been absolutely a fun time so far.
And tell me what field training entails.
So you go to three different field training officers and you rotate all throughout the state. And basically, your field training officer works on specific tasks with you. And we'll keep like a running task list of everything we've covered so that next field training officer can kind of piggyback off of that. And by the end of field training, we have this list that's our master list of everything that, you know, they want us to learn in field training. And by then we're ready to graduate once we've covered all those topics.
And what do they want you to learn? I mean, let's see, what I would think it would be sort of just general patrolling, looking for poaching, looking for illegal spotlighting, looking for hunters that might not be hunting illegally. Let's see, problematic bears.
I know right. It's everything under the sun. Yep. It's dealing with deer incidents, bear incidents, interacting with the public, information education events, training deputies. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff on the list that they want us to cover.
Oh, so at some point, like Dirk has done this, has worked with deputies, so you would get that same opportunity to see that training underway.
Okay. Yes.
Can you imagine pretty soon you're going to have deputies working for you?
Mm-hmm.
How's that feel?
It feels great.
Yeah,
that's part of the job. So
yeah, good for you. Well, that's amazing. Okay, so in the course of your travels, you came across you got called out because a deer had been poached in the Allenwood area. Start at the beginning. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah, so it was about 11 o'clock at night, maybe 11:30 or so. We received a call from our dispatch center that a local farmer had heard a gunshot. And so we reported out to the scene, and sure enough, there was a buck laying in his field. And this was no typical buck. It was massive. 22-inch spread, 13 points. And as far as we know at this point, we took it to a butcher, had them skin it back, and it had been shot with some sort of small caliber firearm.
And when you say small caliber, guesstimate bigger than a 22, perhaps? Or you can't even speculate like
tough
that?
Tough to say. Yeah, it's tough to say at this point, but... Yeah, we're looking at some sort of smaller caliber firearm at this point.
And one of the wardens says maybe 243. I think you speculated 243. Dirk's here, 243 or so.
Yeah, Mark, you're a hunter. A lot of times you know and you've skinned back deer before. You can tell if you're using a larger caliber, a 30 grain or something like a 30-06 or a 308. This hole was a lot smaller than something like that. And, you know, you see the shock trauma also in something big like that.
Okay, so this one didn't seem to have that particular one. Okay, so back to this deer. What did you do that night to try to see what you could do to investigate?
Well, we were going to try and at least wait a little bit for the deer to see if they would come back for it, but no one ever did, so...
Okay, so you did some sort of a patrol or drive around or hide in the corn, or what does that entail?
Yeah, we basically just waited to see if anyone would show back up for it.
Okay, and nobody did, so that's a, well, it's a shame that it got shot. One of my good friends says there is somebody that should have got shot that night, but not the deer. So just a real trophy deer that was taken illegally. In an ongoing fashion, how does the investigation proceed now?
So from here, we're really just waiting on the public to reach out with tips because they are going to be the backbone of this investigation.
You need somebody to step forward in the months ahead and say, hey, you know, so-and-so said they shot this deer with, you know, a 222 or something like that or something small. So and maybe as a deer camp tends to bring out the story, so maybe that'll help. But you want the general public to be on alert for these stories.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, so keep listening up. So this is in the general vicinity of one of the federal prisons up in the Allenwood area. What road was this on, if you happen to remember the road name?
That was Route 44.
Okay, right on 44. Mm-hmm. Okay, geez, I know right where all that is. So I didn't know that deer was in the mountains up there. I would have started seeking my permissions if I'd have known that. Okay.
So one of the things, Mark, we like to emphasize on this is, you know, we have the rack in here where you can see it and touch it. It's all over the internet, and you can see how massive not only the deer was, but the rack. This is theft from all the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. How many people would possibly have had an opportunity to take this animal legally? It could have been a 12-year-old's first buck, a trophy of a lifetime for a hunter that's hunted all his life. And that's why we need the help of the people, because they were the ones that were robbed of this animal that's so beautiful that could have been hanging on a wall and stories told down through generations about.
Well, this is a real Bambi trophy deer. And, of course, its offspring in the years ahead are gone, too, now. So, you know, this is the breeding stock is gone. Okay, so, and your reaction when you saw this, as a person who loves the outdoors, when you're dealing with this, reflect on that.
Oh, it just makes your heart drop, you know. And you want that for that little kid hunter out there. You know, you want them to get the big buck. And it was just so disheartening to see this just laying in the field from someone who wasn't doing the right thing.
Well, hopefully it's his brothers are out there and some other ones, too. So we'll keep informed. We'll keep pushing this on our social media and on our air and see if we can get that going. Lots of folks concerned and talking about chronic wasting disease. If folks aren't familiar with what that is, CWD, tell us about that.
Yeah, so chronic wasting disease is a prion-based disease that basically eats brain tissue out of cervid species. So you're looking at white-tailed deer, elk, anything that's cervid in that family can get the CWD. It can stay in the system of a deer for over 2 years without them even showing symptoms. So as far as symptoms go, you're looking at drooling. They call it wasting disease, of course. So skinniness, drinking too much, just wobbliness, stuff like that is what hunters are going to be looking for. And that's when they're actually exhibiting symptoms.
Okay, so a deer that's suffering from this, it's sort of in plain sight when they're acute with these kind of things. But a deer can have it, and so you want people in this disease management area to have their deer tested.
Yes.
What does that entail?
Yeah, so we have several head bins located throughout the DMA that they can take their heads to when they harvest a deer.
I mean, I know about one in Middleburg at the borough headquarters. Where else? One at the Sunbury Boat Launch that's run by the Fish and Boat Commission.
Yes.
Where else?
There's a Laurelton Bald Eagle State Forest at the office, and then Beaver Springs, and there's one in Richfield, too. And they can go online. There's also an interactive map where they can look up all the head bin locations.
All right. And you can track that. I highly recommend folks download the Game Commission app on their phones. Extremely helpful. Just look for that map on the search box, and you'll find that. I would recommend you do it with a laptop, but it can be done with two fingers. Not with gloves on, but you'll have to get warmed up before you do that, hunters. But that's where the head bins are. Middleburg, Sunbury, Laurelton, Beaver Springs, and Richfield around here. And there may be others, too. So make sure you look at that map and see which one is closest to you. So if a hunter shoots a deer in this deer management area, which is basically from Route 45 south in Union County, you want them to get the head checked.
Yes, that's what we're recommending right now, just for safe consumption of the meat, only because it hasn't been tested or linked to humans yet.
All right, and no deer yet in Union County found with the chronic wasting disease?
Not that I'm aware of yet.
Okay, but yes, in Snyder County, we know that some have been found there. And the new disease management area, just describe it in general, if you would. This is encroaching north. That deer management area number two is now encroaching north.
Yes, so it's mostly right now at the southern end of the county. But yes, it has been expanding, and what we can do to prevent that is have people turn in those heads to see if we're getting any positives.
Okay.
It's really just a preventative measure at this point.
All right. So if you're hunting in a deer management area, which is the lower part of Union County from 45 south, bordered by 45 and the Susquehanna River, you're in that deer disease management area. If you're in there, you have to, in order to be compliant with rules, get that head checked. Is it a rule that I get the head checked, or just a ridiculously good idea?
It's a good idea.
Okay, just a good idea. All right, that's fine. Well, if you see it's intact, what happens if you eat a deer that has the disease?
It's not linked to anything at this point, and just because of the lack of scientific studies that have been done on it, we're just recommending to get that head tested.
Okay, well, all the women just in the world who like to worry out there just said, okay, we'll get the head tested. It's free, and you get the results, and, and you might as well do that. So chronic wasting disease, and the deer management areas that are covered by this, the disease is spreading, right? It's going into more areas?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
All right, so it's moving in a more northerly fashion around here, so we're keeping an eye on that. Anything to elaborate on chronic wasting, perhaps I didn't ask you?
No, just if they could get the heads tested, it's definitely a good idea just to keep tracking this disease as it goes on.
All right, Dirk, anything you wish to add?
Yeah, Mark, there is a couple new rules associated with the disease management area. So if someone does harvest a deer within that disease management area, and just say they come to their hunting cabin, and that hunting cabin is within that management area, it is against the law now to take that deer and say, take it back home outside of the disease management area to their hometown butcher to get done. If they were going to do that, they have one of two choices. They either have to go ahead and butcher that deer at their hunting cabin and debone all the meat and you know, leave or and or bury the spine or any parts like that right in that management area, or they take it to a certified butcher within that area to be processed. And those butchers that are certified are handling the high-risk parts the correct way.
Okay, so you're going to have to look up. A lot of folks do their own butchering around here, so you are going to want to look for, it'd be a commercial operation for some of these individuals. All right, so keep your eye out for that, and keep that in mind when you get, maybe kind of walk your way through it before you shoot a deer in those areas, so you know what to do on day of, where you're going to go, how are you going to do this, so you can do all of that. Okay, chronic waste and disease, CWD, we're very worried about that, and you definitely don't want to eat a diseased deer just because its symptoms aren't acute yet, because that's sort of a big fat question mark that you never know, so you don't want to take that particular risk. Rule changes as we head towards, well, we're into the archery season right now, rule changes as we head towards some of the other seasons?
Yes, so what they're going to want to keep in mind is the season changes are listed on page one in the digest. That's going to be stuff like bear check station changes and hours. Just a reminder, all successful hunters are required to have their bears checked. If there's no stations open near them, they can call into the Game Commission and we can figure out another option for that. Another one that's changed, mentored hunters under age 12 may now hunt bears and waterfowl with appropriate additional privileges added onto the license, and mentored hunters can be of any age now. In certain special regulations areas, they can now use straight-walled centerfire cartridges of appropriate calibers. Buckshot may no longer be used except for certain permitted hunts through the agency. Hunters are limited to having 6 antlerless licenses on hand at a time. As they are filled, they can apply for more as they harvest the antlerless deer.
Six.
But right now, yes, six licenses.
It's all I can do to get one and a bonus around here, but but six. But if you're down in Philly, you can buy them over the counter at some places, right? So, yeah, mm-hmm. they're abundantly available there. Okay,
right.
So they don't want you to have more than six at any given time.
Correct.
And if you got six deer down there, you'd be doing a huge favor to a lot of folks, so they would certainly endorse that. Sunday hunting, there are some Sundays you're permitted to hunt, so when are they?
That's November 13th, November 20th, and November 27th are those Sundays.
All right. So these license, don't go by what Mark Lawrence is saying, but the 13th is within the deer archery area, buck and doe. The 20th is in bear season for some areas, and the 27th is the first Sunday of the rifle season. So that's good sound information for everybody. You're going to see a lot of more hunters out there on Sunday. Not all the hunters hunt on Sunday yet. Have you heard or picked up any information about the number of people hunting on Sunday? Is it pretty close to how many people are hunting on Saturday?
I'm honestly not sure.
Have you heard anything, Dirk, about Sunday hunting?
We haven't got enough years behind us to see what the impact is yet, Mark. And a lot of times it's given on the person. I know a lot of farmers prefer not to hunt on Sundays. You know, they want a day without people driving through their fields or coming through. Other people may hunt on Sundays because of their work schedules, so we don't have a ton of information on that at this point.
All right. We are getting very close to the buck season. Are you hearing about the number of deer, sort of speculation of volumes mm-hmm. and populations?
Oh, I know when we've been out on patrol, there's been just deer everywhere. And you'll have those hunters come up to you and show them their trail cam pictures and everything like that. So, buck are out. They really are out, so...
All right.
It's looking good for the season.
Any other information for hunters? Anything else you want to pass on today?
I do want to pass on the changes to our agency phone numbers that just came into effect. They can reach us at 1-833-PGC-HUNT or 1-833-PGC-WILD now. And that's all going to go into our centralized dispatch center in Harrisburg.
Okay, so 833-PGC-HUNT or WILD.
Correct.
Wow, you got to be able to, maybe even I could memorize that. All right. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining the ranks of the Game Wardens. I'm sure you're going to be good at it, and I already know you're a good professional at it. You got a good leader here in Dirk training you, so thank you for that. Dirk, anything to add to our conversation?
The only thing that I would add, Mark, is a lot of times it's a thing we skip over when we look at what's going to be good during the hunting season. And one thing is the predators. so many predators out there and opportunities to hunt. The raccoon, the fox, the coyotes, their populations are extremely high right now, and it's just another outdoor recreational opportunity. A lot of people have done it before. If you do it, it's a good season to be doing it. If you haven't, maybe you want to investigate on how to predator hunt and or trap and get into that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that information. Thank you for coming in. Dirk Riemann-Snyder is a game warden based out of Union County, but also gets involved in training of the cadets. And a cadet is here, Brooke Hargenrader. He is here from Perry County, but patrolling in Union County now, and she'll move on to another warden for more of her training and then back to the academy to wrap up. And when are you going to be a game warden?
That'll be February time frame.
Okay. Well, Merry Christmas to you. Fantastic. Well, good luck. Enjoy the rest of your studies.
Thanks so much, Mark.